Welcome to the second edition of the Untitled Podcast. We've still not really decided over the title yet. Asian cast is the strong lead, but hours before recording this podcast, we've had several more suggestions flung at us, so more balls to juggle in the air. Tonight, I'm introducing, well, I'd say he's been one of my friends for years, knowing him over a few communities, the Dragon's Den, contact each other through email, good time. I'm introducing to my good friend Ken.
Hello, hello. And it's my full name is Kenneth Brosom, but you can call me Ken because that's less than mouthful, so.
That's cool. Right, so I guess you just need to introduce yourself, like.
Right, well, most people may not know me per se, but I run a little site that you were so kind to plug last time, SogoReviews.com. And I'm the sole creator and reviewer, but I do have to say I've had some web design help, even though it's not much of a design. But it's my creation. It's been going on for a few years now, about 7 years. Oh, sorry, 5 years. And you sort of described it very well. What the content is, you won't find much known stuff on it, but then again, some weeks I do have a penchant for the mainstream cinema, and some weeks I don't. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. I can go on for hours, but I might as well stop for a while.
Yes, I think actually the design works well for the site with it being black. I just like it how it gives the underground feel.
Right, if you interpret it that way, then I'm going to take full credit because that was never an intention. It was always the my philosophy is that you need to reach the content quick, and I sort of stand by this design therefore, and probably will for a few more years. So, and it seems to work fairly well, and it's not a site that pays for itself, and but I do enjoy making it each week, and we all have a passion, and this passion is manifested in our respective websites. So it's a whole lot of fun.
And your website updates, is it every Monday?
Every Sunday, actually. I sort of did it on Monday, and it's you'll have to accommodate. With your regular schedule, with your regular life schedule, and I realized that I have more time on Sundays, and that's where when it updates. Usually a full update with four small reviews and one big review, all varying in quality. So,
I think the only reason I've picked up is a Monday is usually Mondays is the day I check the updates.
Right. Where you still have time to before the next update. So, but just to do a quick shameless plug, this week is sort of a mainstream movie reviewed. It's Eye in the Sky, which we might get into a bit later. I don't know, but a few people might know of that. So,
indeed, right. So, we'll start throwing some questions at you.
Sure.
Just let us know. Who's your favourite actors that you enjoy the most, really?
Right, well, I've given that some thought, and, it's never easy to compile a top 10 list of anything, and it's never easy to compile a top 5 list of anything, and it's never easy to compile, one ultimate choice. So I'll just throw out maybe two or three actors that I really enjoy. And I should note, I sort of started watching Hong Kong movies, John Woo movies, so I encountered the likes of Chow Yun-fat first, and Tony Leung, and Jackie Chung, and Simon Yam. But nowadays, I have a strong devotion to Chow Yun-fat, and also Francis Ng, who was in Bullets Over Summer and Juliet in Love, and
which I have yet to see.
Right, exactly. I came to mention those right now because you do have that on your unwatched pile, Juliet in Love, and I thoroughly recommend that you watch it as soon as you can. It's directed by Wilson Yip, and it's sort of is bound to highlight that kind of movie now, seeing as Wilson Yip is mostly known now for his action movies with Donnie Yen. But if you go back a few years, there was a different Wilson Yip working in the underground, sort of. And Juliet in Love is a challenging film, but it's very, very rewarding. And Francis is in it, and Sandra.
Yep.
And so those are sort of two actors I do enjoy whatever they do. And I sort of think you are a fan of Francis after watching Young and Dangerous?
Yeah, he plays the main protagonist in the first movie.
Right, and after that movie is, you know, I like to highlight the movies that people usually don't talk about or know of, but there was a spin-off from that movie where Francis played the same character, Ugly Quan, I believe was the translation. The English translation of his name. And that character was taken into a movie called Once Upon a Time in Triad Society, which is sort of not a spoof of Triad movies, but it's a satire of Triad movies. And it came out the same year, so they already felt that they needed to make fun of genre conventions the same year as Young and Dangerous came out. And that's such a really funny movie, and he's such a detestable character, and it's a lot of fun. It's sort of where most people think of Francis as this weird, wild, wacky guy in movies, and they would be right. They would be very right. So it's an actor you just get fascinated by when you watch him. I really do. So so that's sort of on the acting front. And also, of course, you mentioned Maggie. Seeing Maggie in real life. Maggie Cheung and Bridget Lin, of course, the immortal beauty Bridget Lin,
yes.
Bride with White Hair and all kinds of movies, and also Cherry Chung, who was in lots of 80s movies. She retired in the early 90s, but she was in An Autumn's Tale with Chow Yun-fat, and I can't think of any right now because there are so many great movies she did. But
Heart of the Dragon, maybe?
Sure.
I think it was... I'm terrible when it comes to Asian actresses. I don't know. I remember most of them from their faces.
Sure.
And most of the times when it comes to a picture of her, I'll never think, oh, it's Cherry.
Right.
It's just a flaw, really.
Well, to be honest, that's sort of a credit to the way she was used in movies and her type of presence, that you have a favorable impression of her, even though you do not necessarily remember the name every time. So, but she her last movie was like made in 1991, which was a movie by Ann Hoy, a Zodiac Killer. Was set in Japan and starred Andy Lau as well. But that was the last movie she did, I think. And could have gone out on a more, you know, high note. But Cherry is always Cherry to me, so it's always fun to go back. Great. So
I think we'll just move on to the next.
Sure.
Like, we've done the actors, so which directors stand out the best in your opinion?
Well, again, going back to the one you experienced first, of course, Yong Woo, the type of movies that Yong Woo did then, the type of movies we associate with Yong Woo, Bullet in the Head, Better Tomorrow, and so forth, and it's a wide range of directors. Really, I'm trying to narrow it down. I mean, you go back to the 70s, you have Chang Chieh. With all the martial arts movies, and you have Johnny To, you have Wilson Yip, Edmond Pang. It's really, my taste is quite wide, so my favorite directors are doing wildly different things as well.
Right.
I should mention Derek Yi as well.
Ah, yes.
Made One Night in Mongkok and Too Young, and
Protégé.
Sorry?
Protégé.
That's right. Recently, that was his latest movie. And he's also doing a movie sometime in the future with Jackie Chan.
Yes.
Which will not be an action movie as such, so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, a change of genre for Jackie.
Yes, I mean, it's a debate right now. What should Jackie do right now? Should he try and do what he's done for a number of years, or try and move on to dramatic acting, which we all know he's capable of? So I'm looking forward to see a director like Derek Yee just sitting down with Jackie and saying, you know, I know you can do this, and we're going to make this really good. If you believe in me, I'll believe in you, and, you know, go from there. So,
I have to say, with this being your first podcast, you've outranked me already.
Well, there are two ranks currently, so...
Yeah.
Well, it's not a matter.
True.
Well, it's not a matter of that, so... But that's sort of that's the director's section, I guess. So I can go on forever, and I think most people can as well. You do like many directors for all the flaws and pros. So
right. Now, when we started in this, the conversations on the forums about the podcast, we remember asking for such just questions.
Right.
And I think it was Yama on the Dragon's Den forum
right. That
asked us what was the films that got us involved to this passion.
Sure.
What made us passionate about the films.
Right.
You'll find out a lot. I stumble in my sentences so much. It's so kind of annoying.
Well, I sort of mentioned that my first introduction was through John Woo movies, and thankfully it was shown over here in Sweden on TV. Funnily enough, it's never really been since. So it's what was a streak of his best, I think, best movies, Bullet in the Head, The Killer, Hard Boiled, and Once a Thief, which was of course different to the serious and hard boiled movies with a lot of seriousness in them, but afterwards you realize that it was a movie designed for the new year, the Lunar New Year, and probably made sense to do that movie after Bullet in the Head, which was, you know, most angry movie John Woo ever made. So, on a personal note, that movie should have made you, Bullet in the Head, should have made you depressed forever and not watching another movie anymore. Yes, it gets to you. It's a tough watch, but that was the movie. Well, you mentioned Bruce Lee was sort of an introduction for you. Or?
Indeed, I think it must have been around 25 years after his passing, and one of our local television channels, Channel 4, done a Bruce Lee weekend,
right,
where they had showed. It was basically the usual films.
Right.
And they put in with documentaries of, I think it was, another thing that happens is you'll tend to forget the title.
Right, right. Well then you're referring to the documentaries?
Yeah, one of Bruce Lee's documentaries,
right.
And when watching it, it's taken back 5 years, I started when it was the 30th, so...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no shortage of documentaries about Bruce Lee anyway, so... I mean, I think one that many people know is the John Little documentary, A Warrior's Journey, that had the Game of Death footage incorporated into it as well, so...
Mm-hmm. I think the one I've remembered now was The Legend.
Right.
Right, and through seeing that, like, obviously seeing Bruce Lee's fight is charisma for the first time.
Right.
It's stunning. And after that film was shown, they had put on Way of the Dragon after it.
Right.
And then after that, it was going to be The Game of Death.
Right.
Then after that, it was I think it was The Crow starring Brandon Lee.
Right.
And I was determined to sit up all night and watch all those films.
Right. Was there one of those all night marathons?
Yep. And I think I just made it halfway through Game of Death before just falling asleep.
Right. Well, no one would blame you for falling asleep into the middle of Game of Death. It's only, you know, the good stuff comes towards the end, so.
Yes. And after seeing those films, I thought to myself, right, I'm going to collect these. So it kind of faded away for a while, but every once in a while when I was in a big, like, just video store, and if I'd see one of the title, like, if I find Fist of Fury,
Right.
I'd buy it there and then, forget the price, just get it on tape.
Right.
And for the past 3 years, it took me that long to collect, like, six videotapes to do with Bruce.
Right. So we're back in the videotape era before DVDs, is this? Right.
Yeah, then I faded. I think the interest got mixed in with all the other big movies at the time, but I got into renting some of Jackie's
Right.
movies. I think. Yes. They're just a strange occasion that always brings me into watching Operation Condor.
Right.
I think it was, again, it was a late night on the weekend flipping through the channels, and I found just the opening credits of Operation Condor, where it's Jackie running about the woods being chased by the tribes people, holding up the poster of the tiger to scare them off,
Right,
and
right,
then
right.
getting in the giant bubble to roll down the mountain.
Right.
I thought that was just gold for me. I loved the film, but I'd missed the introduction, so I never knew the title of the film.
Right.
Then a year later, and near enough, exactly the same thing happened again. Like, same movie, caught it on the same time where Jackie took a drink of water, offending the tribe, and I'd always forgotten the title of this movie until renting it eventually,
Right.
and just like, right, this is it, I'm needing to get into these movies. And that year for my Christmas, got a strange choice DVD. It was my current partner's father gave me a Christmas present, which was the Hong Kong Legends DVD of Once Upon a Time in China 3.
Right. Right. Oh, okay. Did they think that you necessarily had watched the first two, or that seemed like a random choice?
I think it was a random choice
Right.
because I think they just knew that I was getting into Jackie films, Bruce Lee films,
Right.
and I think that was just a blind buy saying, ah, you'll like it.
Well, that's a good thought. That's a good
It was
thought.
a good start, because watching the film, I enjoyed it.
Right.
And I went. The good thing about Hong Kong Legends at the time was they had a trailer section,
Right.
and all the trailers for all the other films looked so exciting. I was like, I need to find the rest of these. And it was like looking through just smoke stained glass before, because
Right.
they were everywhere. It was like, I'd never noticed these before. But there were in near enough every shop I walked into that sold DVDs, there was at least one or two Hong Kong Legends waiting there.
Right. Well, you've been sort of more fortunate. I'm thinking the UK as a whole, and I don't know how it is in Scotland, but you've been more fortunate, it seems, with companies pushing for Hong Kong cinema even before DVDs. And over here in Sweden, it's sort of been not the case. It's caught on extremely late. During my introduction to Hong Kong cinema, I had to import tapes from the UK from the Made in Hong Kong VHS
Yes.
label, which was a godsend. It introduced me to so much, but you had to pay. It was a good thing you were living at home back then, because you would never afford importing those tapes and
Right.
paying for your living at the same time. So
of course.
we've not been blessed, but it's the quest is fun though, to find it,
Yes.
and even if it means working for it. So I got a question for you. Watching Bruce Lee's movies, did you ever want to, or do you do any martial arts?
It didn't convince me to do it. I think after watching it and being young, I think you go to your cousin's house the next day and start throwing the fists, doing the loud screams. But that was the thing we lacked in my area.
Right.
It'd have to be a 1 or 2 hour bus journey to the closest area that would I think the closest one for us was a karate studio.
Right.
And that was an hour's bus to get there, and I did, sorry, the gas on my Coke is coming back. And at the time, I was like, right, I found a place that does it. I'm interested.
Right.
And for 2 months, I went there back and forth. But the cost of the lessons, the cost of the bus journeys, and I was just a student at the time. It was too much for me. For me to get to my next belt, we had to do a seminar in Edinburgh. I had to travel out far to go to these higher levels.
Right.
It was far too costly, and I'd taken a tumble. I think I'd fallen down a staircase roughly about that time, and I'd twisted my ankle out bad.
Right.
Well, the reason I ask is that seemed to be the number one effect of. In people after watching Bruce Lee's movies, even though they watched them 20 years after they were released and so forth, and I think it's mostly a good thing, because there was such a good philosophy behind Bruce, and it was a very accessible philosophy, and hopefully, you know, you said that you wanted to emulate Bruce and his war cries and so forth. But I think ultimately he's always been more of an inspiration than, you know, a person that promoted violence. There are exceptions, of course. So, yes. I never had that, seeing as I got introduced to Bruce Lee quite late. I believe it was when the Hong Kong Legends DVDs came out of his old movies. And I got into the heroic bloodshed movies, which doesn't make you want to shoot guns, of course. But
I was just about to ask that as well.
Right. It would be pretty stupid to get affected to that, you know, to that degree, whether it's martial arts or shooting guns. But I thought about if there are sort of three levels of introduction to Hong Kong cinema, and what I mean by that, people that discovered Bruce Lee at, let's say, in the 70s, people that discovered Jackie Chan in the 80s, and people that discovered John Woo and Chow Yun-fat movies in the 90s. And I was thinking about, if that is the case, what is the case right now? What are people, what makes people passionate about Hong Kong movies or Chinese movies today? What is the movie, or what is the type of movie that they watch for the first time?
Me personally, I think Johnny To stands out the most for his crime dramas and thrillers.
Right.
I think they stand out quite clear as the movies we expect from Hong Kong nowadays.
Right. It's also I thought about this a few days ago, and I was sort of thinking in a worldly perspective, maybe it's the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon effect.
Ah, yes. That at least over in the West, that stands out a lot more. Mostly Zhang Yimou's films are all getting big releases over here.
Right, but then again, Johnny To is slowly getting into the mainstream as well. I think Exile has just been released, or is going to be released in the UK.
Exile had a cinema release a few months ago. It's out on DVD now.
Right.
About a month ago, PTU had a cinema run as well.
Oh, really? Quite a tight schedule there. Do they have a limited release, or do you know if they are pushing them slightly harder?
Both of them were really limited releases.
Right.
For me, the closest cinema to find Exiled would be Edinburgh, and the closest cinema to find PTU would be in London.
Right. Well, the more I think about it, I think there are maybe a third factor nowadays that make people raise their eyebrows towards Hong Kong movies, and I think that is Stephen Chow.
Yes.
Kung Fu Hustle, and also Shaolin Soccer to some degree, but I've spoken to so many people about Kung Fu Hustle, and they get it. They get what the intention is, and it's not, you know, to go on a tangent about Kung Fu Hustle here, I love that movie because it has references for people that know Hong Kong movies, and it's easily accessible for those who don't.
Exactly.
And I mean, one of those, I think anyway, and I should put forth a disclaimer here that I'm not an expert in any way and probably pronounces every Chinese name wrong, but that's okay. But one of the references in Kung Fu Hustle is the big big complex where all the Kung Fu masters live, the apartment complex. I think that's straight out of the old Shaw Brothers movie House of 72 Tenants. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I think I've heard someone mention that. Yes,
which it stood out because it was a Cantonese language movie at the time where Mandarin language was dominated the cinema, and it really introduced Cantonese as a viable cinematic language and experience. And it's not the most accessible movie for at least it wasn't for me, but you could recognize that it was an event of some sort, and was directed by Cho Yun, who's mostly made one of those how do you explain it, these swordplay movies, fantasy swordplay movies.
Yes.
Like I can think of one, The Roving Swordsman, Killer Clans, one of his more known movies. So that is a reference I think is in Kung Fu Hustle, and you can take it if you want, but you won't miss anything if you don't get it, and I think that's the magic of that movie and the reason it's doing so well in the West, or did so well in the West. So
I remember actually catching a showing of Kung Fu Hustle in Kirkcaldy, which was like one of our local towns, and it was it was one of these cinemas that will show you the movie 3 months after it had its original movie run.
Right.
But it was rather cheap as well, so I think there's about a cinema filled with maybe 30, 40 people. It was me and my girl were there watching it. We've seen it a handful of times already.
Right.
But seeing it on the big screens always makes it feel much better.
Right, I actually had the privilege of seeing it on the big screen as well, and that theater, which is a very, very famous one round about where I live, it was about 10 people attending the screening, including the company I went with was we were 3 in total. So, right. But I was so satisfied that they laughed at the correct places, and that they were genuinely entertained, which made me happy, and made me happy for Stephen Chow as well, that he's reaching out and he's not compromising a whole lot. I think, I mean, it's
that is exactly how I felt, because by the time the curtains rolled on this film, it had a standing applause.
Really,
it was so surreal. It was great. You felt like Stephen Chow,
right?
Because, like, you showed these. Well, I didn't personally. We got to see this film. I've known about it already, but it must have enlightened these people, and hopefully, it's convinced them to look at the whole catalogue of work he has out.
Right, right, and it's of course, speaking of Stephen Chow, it's not. His prior movies, let's say, are not the most accessible to Western audiences,
exactly.
or not 100% anyway, because he is known and was known for his verbal comedy, I think so.
Yeah, the only other Stephen Chow film that's released over here, I'm sure, is just Shaolin Soccer.
Right.
Which is one side the Miramax release, which is missing half an hour and dubbed
right.
in English.
Right.
But it also gives you the optional disc of the original uncut movie in the original language for
right.
subtitles.
Right. Well, let's not get into DVD discussion this time, because if we're going to talk Miramax, then we'll be here for 4 hours, I guess. So,
okay.
Let's save that for another one.
Okay. Let's just go over recent films. What you've seen recently?
Right. Well, I had a bit of a break watching movies for my quick takes section, which is basically movies with that only deserve one paragraph, or I can only write one paragraph. But I saw for the future big reviews, I saw earlier this week Kidnap, which is the recent 2007 movie with Carina Lam, that's right, and Renee Liu. She was in Double Vision, as has been probably in some Taiwanese movie. She's a Taiwanese actress.
She not in A World Without Thieves?
Sorry? Yeah, I think she was in that, yes, with Andy Lau.
Andy Lau. Mm-hmm.
And it was directed by, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Lau Chi-Lung. He did Double Tap in Inner Senses.
Oh, yes, yes.
And in between, after those two, I feel he made that very not liked children's movie Bug Me Not, was a CGI insects and extremely cute movie. And, you know,
Isabella Leon.
Right, and which went on to actual acclaim in Isabella.
Right enough.
Did you see that yet?
Yep, I did. I did like it, but I think I need to watch it again to do the movie real justice.
Right, well, it's one of those movies, I think, but it's got divided reviews, but she's amazing in it. She is really, and contrary to what many believe, the movie, at least they claim the movie was not named after her. And in actuality, she the character of Isabella is a dog in the movie. So,
yes.
Going back to Kidnap, it's Lau Chi-Lung's first movie after Bug Me Not, and he rebounds quite nicely, actually. He was not ready for making a light movie, so he's back with sort of it's a good ride.
So you recommend it?
I do recommend it, and I mean, it's an easy watch, and you can criticize it quite heavily if you examine every piece of the plot, but it's quite all right, and I do like Carina Lam, and although she's not as well utilized in this movie as she's been in other movies, but those thoughts and many more will be online in a few weeks on my site, so.
Right,
and speaking of Ikin Cheng, I saw a movie, I don't know if you've seen it, I know you're a fan of his, a movie called Leave Me Alone.
Indeed I did, yes.
Right, which I did not particularly like.
I think from watching it, I could see why it's had mixed reviews.
Right.
When I say mixed, probably the only positive review would come from me.
Right, well do you find it...
It's okay, but I could tell the movie gets a bit slow around the middle.
It's a straight. I like the fact that the Danny Pang, who directed it, one half of the Pang brothers, he set out to make a movie that had a little bit of everything, both emotions and quirky humor and even very gory humor. And I like that. I like that with Hong Kong cinema when they just go all out insane. But this one sort of didn't. It didn't feel like he was ready for that challenge. It was so. In the end, I didn't. That will not be a favorable review. But I did like Cheng in it. He was sort of. He was okay.
I liked how there's like a contrast in his character portrayed in the second character.
Right, exactly. Like, which is probably not the most challenging acting, but you know, the illusion is pulled off. He, for those who don't know, he plays his twin brother, and well, he plays both brothers, obviously. So,
yes.
It's not a whole lot of split screen and you know, an over reliance on effects.
Some camera tricks, really.
Sorry.
Is there not some camera tricks thrown into it?
Right.
I think there was a scene where both of them was lying in bed eating breakfast. That is.
Right. I think in actuality, you know, it's not a detail that's important, but he's holding an ashtray and the other brother is smoking. But they did that very little in the movie, which I appreciated. You don't need to go all out to show that you can make it seamless. It worked in that regard, so.
I think I really need to rewatch it because I've never reviewed it myself.
Right.
I remember buying it as soon as it came out, then watching it then, and it's been a good year.
Right. Came out in 2004, I think. So.
Ah, a good 2 years then.
Right. So that's the recent watch, this week's movie. So what have you been watching lately?
It's been a dry week for me, but I did watch Flashpoint on Monday.
Right. Which is also a movie with mixed reviews, but you were talking about you were hoping it was going to meet the meet
my expectations.
yeah, expectations and be sort of as good as SPL, or?
Indeed.
So what was the
Ah.
verdict, ultimate verdict?
Well, let's see. When watching it, it's actually kept a trim, I think 1 hour 28 minutes.
Right.
So the pacing's good.
Right.
I didn't look into the film much. I just bought it knowing that Wilson directed it and Donnie Yen was in it. But when watching it, I was surprised to see a slimmer Ken Cheng.
Right, yeah, I saw the some pictures from the press conference that he was in it, and now that you mention it, you're actually right. He does look slimmer, a bit older, but
Yeah.
that's a dear favorite, I think, for many people. Ken Cheng, Crime Story,
Of
Once
course.
Upon a Time in China. He plays what's the?
Petro Wing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That would probably be the reason I would watch it right now, Flashpoint, just to see if Ken Cheng still got it.
He's not used to the best effect in the movie, but it's great to see him back.
Does he play a villain or good guy?
He plays the police chief who's in charge of Donnie.
Right.
But another character I love, well, I was glad to see back, though he's not really been away, is Colin Chow, or Chew.
Right,
Who's,
well, he's been
he's,
in America, hasn't he? So,
yes. He'll be most likely known for his work on the Matrix movies and recently portraying Jet Li's father in Fearless.
right. I actually saw that movie just recently, 100 years after everyone else. But he did, it's not the best, good
Yeah,
grandmaster role, but I mean, he's such a good physical performer in terms of martial arts, so he's captivating. He's not in it that much, even in the longer version of the film.
that's what kind of made me think that he's been missing in the film scene,
Right.
but Flashpoint brings him back 120%.
So do they make it a bit of an event, putting Donnie Yen and Colin against each other, like they did in SPL with Donnie and Wu Jing?
Yep, it was just like from the get-go when you realize Colin Chu's the main bad guy and you could see what kind of damage he could bring to the table.
Right.
It's like right away he's like, oh God, right, I need to see like the result, Donnie Yen versus Colin Chu.
Right.
That I just focused, well, my thoughts were on that for the rest of the movie. I was just
Right.
waiting for this fight, and in the end it doesn't quite deliver exactly what I wanted, but you
Right.
do get a good 10-minute fight between them.
Well, 10 minutes is sort of a lot for any movie with fight scenes these days. Do they not to spoil anything, but is it a climactic fight between them, or is it close to the end, like in SPL?
It's well, there is some fights amongst it because the case is Donnie Yen plays a cop whose his main focus is bringing down this group of Vietnamese
Right.
brothers. There's three brothers. There's one. There's the younger brother Tiger. They're actors I'm unfamiliar with at the time, but the only actor that stands out amongst them is Colin Chu, who's
Right.
the middle brother.
Right.
And Donnie Yen's partner, Louis Koo, who plays an undercover cop who works amongst the triads,
Right.
and he's gained the loyalty of the three brothers. And it gets to the point early on where Louis Koo's cover is broke and he's on the run from the three brothers,
Right.
and one brother's arrested and his court date's due. And it basically picks up where you realize, stammering too much.
Well, you did admit that, and I'm the same as well, that talking about plot is not really your thing, and it's not my thing either. So, but do they to track back a little bit to SPL, is this sort of only a straight action adventure, or does it have some character in it as well, and maybe some drama, or they skip that bit?
They do add some drama into it through Louis Koo's character, where he develops a relationship from well, with his girlfriend and how their relationship progresses.
Right.
But for Donnie Yen, it's just finding the next person he could kick in.
Right. And many people, I guess, want to know, what is Donnie Yen's work on the movie like, seeing as he has a rightfully a good reputation based on SPL, in my opinion, which was, also a poor reputation for utilizing really silly camera speeds for his fighting, which I've never yet figured out why he thinks that's necessary. So what's his work like in Flashpoint?
Well, as you said, the fast camera work is in this movie, and it does get to one point where it looks more silly than effective.
Right.
It's because what you usually expect for Donnie Yen, where he does his little boxing jog that you see Bruce Lee do, and
right.
he does the swinging fists. At that point, I was like, oh, nah, he's shooting himself in the foot here. But he does bring it back with some really sore looking kicks, and
right.
people landing back, like, rather than hitting the floor, they kind of hit the edge of the wall, bang their head through the table. Like, no one gets a safe landing.
Right. Well, it's easy to criticize a movie like that, I guess, because it doesn't have a good plot and so forth. But take you rewind 20 years or so forth, and that was the Hong Kong action cinema. You wanted it to deliver the action goods, and everything in between, you know, you can live with it, and you could also live without it. So I mean, I think expecting it to be the most excellent character drama you've ever seen and the most excellent action movie you've ever seen at the same time is sort of too much. But and I'm saying that as a Wilson Yip fan as well, because I know what he's capable of when he's doing drama. So eventually I'll get to Flashpoint. I'm in no hurry. The opinions are voiced every day on the internet. So.
Yes.
You're not missing it.
Yes. Well, by the end of it, I did come off liking the film a lot.
Right.
It doesn't outrank SBL, but it's a close second.
Well, in comparison to, if it's even suitable to do a comparison to Dragon Tiger Gate?
Well, actually, I've kind of grown to love Dragon Tiger Gate after vigorous viewings.
Right.
I don't know, I think it's just the action I love.
Right.
In my opinion, it does outrank Dragon Tiger Gate.
Right. Which was probably a completely different film in intent as well. I mean, it was a comic book adaptation, far as I know. So that's why I'm saying it might not be suitable to compare such, just because there was Wilson Yip and Donnie Yen 2 years ago or 1 year ago or whatever it was. So, will this Flashpoint, are you working on a review for your site?
I've finished.
Right.
We've got a big actual update coming up next week, but after that, Flashpoint will be the next review out.
Right. In terms of that, if talking about the website, do you like to have a pipeline of ready reviews to go, or do you write each review and just focus on that, or do you like to have several reviews finished?
In the past, it used to be several reviews. I'd update the site every time I'd have 5 reviews ready. But struggling nowadays, it gets to the point where we'll update the site with the next review that's finished.
Right.
But in the past 2 days, we've actually gotten quite a lot of reviews, like Jeff, or my friend from Canada.
Right.
The web monkey for Canada, should I say. He's throwing in some great reviews, and like, I've not got enough time to work all these, get them ready for the site, so he's doing a great job.
Right.
I'm trying to pull my weight, but yeah, it's usually just when we have one ready, we'll throw it out into the sea.
Right. Well, the way I work is I have quite a large amount of quick takes ready to go, because they are you know, you're writing quite quick, and you know, when you can't work on a website as much, then it's good to have something ready. And normally about 2 major reviews are done are done and ready to go at all times. So it's just the way I feel comfortable working, instead of rushing to each update to make it to the deadline. So the so-called deadline. So
yeah.
I mean, no one is demanding me to update every Sunday. It's just the way I do.
Exactly
so.
How you feel.
So that's a mix of subjects, I guess. But do you want to move on?
Sure. I think we should go into another question or cut right to the plugin.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you it's up to you. You had some subjects lined up, and I'm just here to. I'm just a monkey here sitting and and answering questions.
Okay, well, let's go for the last question.
Sure.
Right. With Halloween around the corner, are you planning to fish out any copies of Mr. Vampire or any other classic Asian horror film?
Well, it's always a good time to do so, but I've never really fought along those lines. Like, it's Christmas now, I have to watch Christmas movies, and it's Halloween now, I have to watch Halloween movies. So probably not. I mean, I can watch any movie at any time, really. So Mr. Vampire series might as well be rewatched 1 week after Halloween or any other film. But I normally don't put that much focus on the particular weekend or week. Having a theme or reviews for that matter. So I think during the Halloween weekend, which is it this weekend, this coming weekend?
I think the start of next week.
Right. But the review round about that time will probably be the Danny Pang movie, Leave Me Alone. So although it was horrible in my opinion, doesn't really fit in with the Halloween theme. So there you go. And you yourself? Do you like to gather your friends and do sort of a...
I do try. Because I'm always, like, when it being Halloween, I'm always tempted to crack out John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
The slot perfectly, but usually when it gets to the time, I've forgotten about it and I'm doing something else and
right.
I forget. I try, but I fail.
Right. Are there any really... I mean, talking about slasher movies, there aren't that many in Hong Kong, I think, that you can pull out. And I think I can think of a handful of quite poor movies. And but there is one, if I'm allowed to plug one really unknown movie.
Of course.
It's a movie called, made in, I think, 82, called He Lives by Night. Stars Sylvia Chang. And was directed by the director who made Hong Kong 1941, Leung Po Chee, I think his name was. And that sort of is a mixture between stupid comedy, it has Ken Cheng and a very young Simon Yam, and also something for the crowd that likes Italian horror movies or murder mysteries. It has a feeling of one of those movies. So it's very, very large contrast. In the beginning of the movie, you have a very gory murder, and soon you have wacky cops trying to solve it, and Sylvia Chang is a radio DJ that gets in the midst of all this. But that's one of the only like slasher films I can think of that came out of Hong Kong. But I do recommend that if you can find it still, and it probably will come out again. He Lives by Night. It's a very good film.
Now that you mention it, I do think the slasher genre is underused in Hong Kong, but maybe that is to a good thing.
Right, well, they haven't really tried, I guess, rightfully as you say, some genres. I was thinking about sci-fi today. You haven't seen many sci-fi movies from Hong Kong, and especially not back then they were probably not ready for it, and nowadays they might be ready for it, but you don't know if they actually can make a good one. And
exactly,
so
to find out who helms the project,
right? And probably one of the bigger directors could deal with that kind of movie. I don't know, Andrew Lau or the Pang brothers, or what have you.
Actually, when you mention like the recent trend of, well, not, there is no trend of sci-fi films nowadays, but one sci-fi film that did come out and was helmed by one of the Pang brothers and starred my man crush Eken,
right,
was Forest of Death.
Oh, really? That was a sci-fi movie? I always thought that was a horror movie. Just a regular horror movie.
It was really just about people mysteriously dying in this one forest, but I'm pretty sure it had, well, I'm going to spoil it for you right now. So if you do want to watch the movie, hold your ears for 5 seconds. Basically, I think the people's been killed by aliens.
Right, right, right.
Right, hopefully I've not spoiled it for anyone, but watching it and being an Eken fan myself, I don't think you've missed much.
Right. Well, it never appealed to me, you know, initially, and I sort of work with instinct when I choose movies, and you know, it's a good thing to take a chance for when you're choosing certain movies. But that one is, if it's on my list, then it's very, very far down. So, and not really because of Eken, or certainly not because of Shuke, but it's not the movie that I'm thinking about right now. So,
yeah. I must say, I was kind of worried about the Pang brothers' recent films. Like, I think they've kind of been on a downhill.
Yeah.
About a downward spiral.
Right. I was talking about that, or rather writing about it in the Leave Me Alone review, that seemed to represent at least one of the brothers, both produced the film, but one of the brothers trying to do something different than, not a lazy comedy, but just something different and see if it works. And I hope that, you know, I didn't like it myself, but I hope that they're not discouraged to, you know, yes, to not venture into that kind of thing again. And I mean, and when they were making their American movie, I think it was called The Messengers.
Indeed.
They were probably hired based on The Eye or one of their other horror movies, rather than Bangkok Dangerous or what have you. So I'm hoping that they try to challenge themselves, because
yes,
obviously they have a knowledge of making excellent looking films. Mm-hmm.
I think Forest of Death was actually kind of shown there is still signs of life amongst them, because I don't know if they're watching Leave Me Alone, Recycle, The Messengers, and The I-10, The Forest kind of acts as a step up,
right,
compared to those movies.
Right.
And so was the one with Charlene Choi.
I can see the movie in front of me. It might have been Diary, but I'm not sure about that.
That is it.
Ah, really? Okay. And I apologize if I do get anything wrong. You can write an email to me and complain about me. That's okay. But you were talking about the Pang brothers might do the Storm Riders sequel.
Yep. Them doing their own version,
right.
To speak. Obviously, you can tell I'm interested about that.
Right.
But just nothing's materialized so far.
Well, I think I've not personally been interested in Storm Riders, and it's not really my kind of movie, to be honest. I do get a kick out of the small movies first and foremost. And I did watch The Duel, which was the Lunar New Year special effects movie that Andy Lau did.
Andy Lau.
And well,
starring Andy Lau and Eken.
Right, exactly. And it was not, you know...
Yeah.
It's good looking, but it was obviously a Lunar New Year movie, and you can expect it to be wacky and cater to the audience. And I never complain about that, because they do know what they're doing during that time, and they do know that you have to make cinema that people can digest easily. But it didn't make me want to go and watch Storm Riders, and you know, maybe one day, but not right now. So,
in my opinion, I think The Duel is probably the weakest link amongst The Man Called Hero and Storm Riders.
Right, and you did say that they actually did not have any story link. Each one is a different film. But speaking of Andrew Laudock, I'm not the biggest fan of his, but I do encourage people to look at his some of his early work before he became interested in special effects. He one of his most regarded movies is a City on Fire-esque undercover film, To Live and Die in Tsim Sha Tsui. I'm not pronouncing that.
Yes.
With Jackie Chung as the tormented undercover cop. but it's quite good. And Wu Chin Liem is in it as well. Jacqueline Wu. She was in Phantom Lovers and
A Moment of Romance.
A whole host of other movies. And his very first film, Against All, which was with Nick Chung and Danny Lee, it's not bad. It's an early film, but it's not bad. It has some teeth, it has some grit.
Right. I could add it to my forever growing pile of movies on Yes Asia to buy.
Right, I think Against All is being released. It was on DVD from Delta Mac, and it's probably going to be on DVD soon. But right now, your only choice is the VCD. So if you can get it cheap, then it's probably watchable. But, sorry?
No, you go ahead.
I think that was the Halloween segment of it all. And, gathering friends to watch Hong Kong movies is not the easiest thing for me to do, because I'm the only one who likes Hong Kong movies, so.
yes. I've managed to tie my friends down and force them to watch, so if they come back, maybe.
Right. So happy Halloween, everybody.
Indeed. I do not recommend anyone to tie down their friends and force them to watch any countless number of Hong Kong horror movies.
The Untitled Asian Podcast does not take responsibility for anyone deciding to tie down their friends.
Especially if you're choosing to watch the American remake of The Grudge.
Right.
Right, we better wrap things up. I think we've breached an hour.
Oh, really? Well,
yep.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, everybody.
No, it's a personal achievement. It's destroyed my 18-minute record.
Right. Before you go into anything else, I do know you have some websites you might want to plug, but do remember to correct a fault of the last podcast.
Yes.
So you might as well take that first of all, is my suggestion.
Okay, I do apologize to everyone I misleaded with the address for Asian Bay. The address for the amazing movie site where I've actually bought myself 3 new movies yesterday at amazing prices.
Right.
I'll just let you know it's the Her Fatal Way trilogy.
Right. Good choice. Good choice, sir.
Yep. Well, the address is asianbay.co.uk.
There you go.
Now, that's that plug.
And hopefully asianbay.com did not lead to any adult sites or, you know, and confuse people in that regard.
I do apologize. And in mentioning Asian Bay, I best give credit towards mDream, which is m-dream.co.uk.
Right.
I think it stands for Mandarin Dream. I think, I'm not sure.
Right.
And obviously we'll plug the usual sites, hkcuk.co.uk and .com, so either way you're going to find our site.
Right.
With our latest review of War starring Jet Li, DragonsDenUK.com, with their latest review of Mr. Cinema.
Right.
With Anthony Wong.
Right.
Have you seen it?
Planning to. I'm a big fan of the director, Samson Choi. Mm-hmm. So eventually,
I've
yes.
Not gotten there yet. I'll buy it eventually. I think I need to read into it before my interest is spiked.
Right. Well, if I am going to recommend you any movie that that particular director did, Samson Choi, I think the Golden Chicken movies is quite a good first choice. It details the history of Hong Kong from the perspective of a prostitute. So
appealing in many ways.
He likes nostalgia. That's one of his running themes. So do watch those.
Okay, I think that's me around my list of plugs. Do you have any sites?
Right. Well, my own site is always good to get a few more visitors, I guess. So sogoodreviews.com. This week with reviews of Eye in the Sky, produced by Yonito, and with Tony Leung and Simon Yam. And if you are so inclined, there are some quick tastes of ninja movies, which is another podcast in itself. So, and also Shaolin Popeye 2 and Midnight Caller. So do read those if you have the time. And I'm sure future podcasts we will get into other people, more sites that other people run that are worthwhile. So
yeah, well. That's it. I'm Stuart Sutherland.
I'm Kenneth Wilson. Ken.
And we'll see you around.
Bye-bye.